Mishnah then of Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Lam Gimel Beis discusses the Seder Hatkiyos. The Seder Hatkiyos. Shalosh al Shalosh Shalosh. The Mishnah tells us it's necessary to blow a tekiya, a true tekiya. A tekiya, of course, is the straight sound. The true is the broken sound, followed by another tekiya. And to do so for Malchus Sichronos and for Shofros. You know, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the Torah tells us Yom Tshriya Lachem, and therefore that is the broken sound, that is the true. How indeed do you know that you have to have a tekiya? So that, the Gemara tells us, is based on Yovel, Parshas Bahar, Vayikra Chafei. There the Torah tells us Vavarta Shofar Trua. First you have to have the tekiya, followed by the true. And the pasuk continues Ta'aviru Shofar, and that is the basis of a tekiya la'achareha. So therefore the combination of what is found when it comes to Yovel, what's found when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, tells us the Seder HaTekiah is a Tekiah, a Trua, and a Tekiah. And that is done, as Rashi writes, for Malchus Sichronos and for Shofros. What exactly is the Shir of the Tekiah and the Shir of the Trua, the relationship between them? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa that tells us very simply, Shir, Tekiah, Kitrua. The straight sound is the equivalent of the broken sound. The broken sound. And what exactly is that? And what is that shir? The Gemara tells us the following. Shalosh yavavos. Shalosh yavavos. What is yavava? Also not so clear. Yavava means a form of crying. But what exactly is the shir of the yavava? So Rashi writes the following chiddush that the gimel yavava, or see yavava, is something which is very, very small. It is a kol koldu, and therefore that means that three very, very brief kolos, that is the shir of a tekiya. That is the shir of tekiya. That is Rashi Shita. So if one were to imagine, for example, for argument's sake, let's say a kol koldu is a fraction of a second, a half a second, that means the shir of a tekiya is a second and a half. A second and a half. Well, that's Rashi Shita. I mean, the tekiyas are very, very short. Very, very short. The shir of the tekiyah is the comparable to gimel yavavos. Gimel yavavos are gimel kochos kol dehu, and therefore that indeed is the shir of the tekiyah in and of itself. Well, Tosus disagrees, and Tosus writes that's not true. A yavava is three kolos kol dehu. Three kolos kol dehu. Wow, triple the size. Triple the size. And therefore, if you're asking me what is the shir of a tekiyah, it is three times that of Rashi. If we're talking about a koldu being a half a second, Rashi's tekiah is a second and a half, and the sheet of the Ri and the Riva, a tekiah is 4.5 seconds. 4.5 seconds long. It's a huge machlokes in terms of how to understand the Gemara. When the Gemara tells us that it's broken down into Yavava, is Yavava a single spurt, or is it considered to be, no, three different kolos? So significant machlokes between Rashi and Tosus in terms of what the shir of tekiah is. The Rambam seems to have a third sheet. When the Gemara describes that the shir tekiya is kitrua, the Gemara uses the phrase, that's Loshon HaBraisa, chad bava, of a single line, of a single line. Rov Rishonim assume chad bava, single line, means that a single tekiya is the same size as a single trua. That's Rashi and the Riva, albeit they disagree in terms of its length. Ooh, the Rambam, Gimel Dal Gochashofa, writes a very, very great Chiddush. No, a single line, a single line. On a single line, you have two tekiyos and one trua, two straight and one broken, which means when the Mishnah and the Braisa tells us that the shir tekiyah is kitrua, it means the shir of a tekiyah is half the length of a trua. Well, that's the Rambam sheet, the Gimel Dalit. Two tekiyos, the Fanachra, will equal the broken sound indeed, which is in the middle. You know, the Rashba writes, according to the Rambam, that means a tekiah is so, so, so short. My commissioner writes right there, Gimel Dalet, that the Rambam clearly is not holding like Rashi. The Rambam is holding like the Rivan, like Tosus, that we're talking about the longer tekiah. So let's say a tekiah is 4.5 seconds. According to the Rambam, it's half of that. It's half of that. 2.25. Now, in order to go ahead and to combine the two tekiyos, in order to be the equivalent of the trua. So that's a very fundamental machlokes. What exactly is a shir tekiah? Rashi on the one hand, very short. Tosus long, and the Rambam's combination that longer, however, two tkiyos equal the amount of a trua in and of itself. Well, so Tosus points out that this is really true. One has to be very, very, very careful. Now, how is it that a person were to sound the shofar? How indeed do you do that? The whole assumption of Tosus, from beginning to end, that long Tosus, daf lamed gimel beis, is what exactly the difference between a straight sound and a broken sound? Tosus assumes, as a davar pashut, that the only difference between them is not the quality of the kol, but rather the length of the kol. The length of the kol. The kol is exactly the same. In other words, the kol is a kol pashut. The Ritva writes, it's clear. A tki is a straight sound. And what exactly is a trua or a shvarim? It's a broken sound, but it is a series of straight sounds. Straight sounds. The only difference between the straight and the broken is the length of the kol. And therefore, Tosus points out that, you know what, this can be a significant challenge. Because realize, if you're going to blow, let's say, broken kolos, shvarim, that are somewhat longer, guess what? Those aren't shvarim. According to Rashi, those are tkiyos. So imagine you're going to blow shvarim, and each shever is going to be a second and a half. So realize, according to Rashi Shita, you just blew five tkiyos. No, you thought you were blowing a tkiya, shvarim tkiya. Each one of those is considered to be a tkiya. So Tosus points out that, you know, that Sarath Lihizar B'Shvarim, be careful, Shelo Yemarich, that you don't blow very long Shvarim, because if you blow long Shvarim, according to Rashi, clearly those are tkiyas. That would be true according to Tosus as well, but they have to be really long. According to Rashi Shita, they don't have to be that long. All of a sudden, Al Pidin, that's considered to be a tkiya. Well, you see from Tosus that there's no difference between the tone, but rather just simply the length. There is an old practice, you've heard now, that, you know what, they'll blow shvarim differently. That's exactly why. If there's a fear that a shever can become a tkiya, what about doing the following? A tkiya clear. Now it has to be a perfectly straight sound. What happens if I flip the shvarim? Now, I blow them not as straight sounds. You do two things. You flip it. You know what? Oh, maybe I can argue as follows. That certainly is not a tkiya. If it's not a straight sound, the Ritva writes, it's not going to be a tkiya. Maybe I could solve the problem by fluttering the shvarim. And if I flip it, I flutter. You know what? It's not going to be a tkiya, but you know what? You're right. It's not a tkiya, but maybe it's not a shvarim either. No. Maybe shvarim means like Tosus. It has to be simply straight sounds. That's a hakpada that many have. No, of having everything perfectly straight. The difference is just simply the duration of the kol. So Tosus says, be very careful as follows. Don't, in the world, combine long shvarim with short tkiyas. No? Which sometimes you find, because then you're not following any shita. If your tkiyas are relatively short, you know what? Those are tkiyas according to Rashi, but it's not going to be tkiyas according to Tosus. And if you shvarim a little on the longer side, that's not going to be shvarim according to Rashi. So Tosus says, be very, very careful. Let the tkiyas be long, let the shvarim indeed be short. That's an important Torah. Good? It's clear from Tosus and the Ramban as well, this is a machlokas Rishonim, that the broken sound and the straight sound should be the same. Meaning, Tosus assumes as a Dabra Pashut, that if you're blowing a Tashrat, a Tkiya Shvarim through a Tkiya, those Tkiyas should be longer. Because if all you're blowing is a Shvarim, so see to it that the Shir Tkiya is comparable to the Shvarim. If you're blowing shvarim trua as the broken sound, so therefore the tkiyas have to be much longer. And the Rashba disagrees, and the Rashba writes that halacha does not exist, that the straight has to be the same length as the broken. But Tosus points out, yes, that indeed is the case, and therefore, you know what, the tkiyas for tashrat should be much longer than the tkiyas of tashat or the tkiyah of tarat. Now, that's the chiddush indeed that Tosus points out. No doubt what's difficulty is, you know, we have such a machlokas Rishonim, you know. It would be nice to be Yotzei l'chol hadeyos, no? To be able to be Yotzei according to Rashi and according to Tosus, but that's very hard. Now, after all, you're going to blow three shvarim. The minimal shear of a shever according to Tosus is going to be a tki according to Rashi. You know what? Okay, we have a lot of kolos, so maybe we could do different combinations. But Rav Soloveitchik, when he was very young, just pointed out the following. You know, Tosus is explicit. When it comes, for example, to trua, How many truas do you blow? It has to be a broken sound that's true, and it should be the shir tkiya, but how many truas do you blow? So, if you listen, not everybody blows the same amount of truas. No? That's seven. That's nine. No? That's 11. Like, you can hear. So, some will nine, some Tosos says, no problem. You know what? If you blow a few more, that's not a problem. And Tosos is clear when it comes to Shvarim as well. If you have more Shvarim, that's not a problem. Shvarim are just longer. Oh, so Soleitchik suggested when he was very, very young, a young boy, you know what? Let's blow five Shvarim. Let's blow five Shvarim. And let's see to it, you have to be mumche, no? Let's see to it that each Shever is a second long. So if you blow five Shvarim, each one is a second long. So you know what? You have the spacing, according to Tosos, of a long tkiya. And no kol is considered to be a shir tkiya, according to Rashi. And therefore, Soleitchik felt the best way is to blow five shvarim. Five shvarim. Mishabur writes in Tav Kuf Tzad, in Sikot Nir Aleph, alechadchila not to blow more than gimel shvarim. But it's mefurish in many Rishonim, that just like you can have a lot of tkiyas, a lot of truas, you can have a lot of shvarim as well. And that was the practice of Soleitchik. This eitzah that the Rav gave when he was very, very young was sent to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim changed the minig and brisk to blow five shvarim. Based on that suggestion. As they blow five shvarim at those years in Brisk. So in order to be yotzei those deos. But no doubt that one, again, had to be careful to make sure indeed that that's true. So we assume that, let's say, poshim shat, straight sounds, the differences in terms of the duration of a kol, and even a trua are individual kolos, albeit they're very, very short. Right? In English, we call that a staccato. Now, the tour quotes, right, one daya, a chiddush, the baliter, that's not what a trua is. A trua is like a continuous fluttering kol. Not break, no, but like a curled kol, and without breaks in between. That you rarely find. The Migdol refers to that as an old minigun in Yisrael. But poshur shat, we assume that individual kolos for shvarim, individual kolos for a trua is one. Well, so a person is obligated to blow straight, broken, straight. And as the Mishnah says, to do that for the Malchias, Sechronos, and for Shofars. So Tosus writes, and Afon Gion Beis, the following. How exactly do you do that? How do you go ahead and blow these combinations for Malchias, Sechronos, and Shofars? What exactly is the issue? The Torah tells us that a true is a broken sound. Okay. And the Gemara quotes, Targum, where Yom Tshelechem is Yom Yevavi Yehilechem, a day of Bechia, a day of crying. And the Gemara says, you know what? Crying can take two different forms. Crying can be a moaning sound, a little bit longer, Gnuche Gonach, and crying can be shorter spurts of Yelule Yalil. And guess what? That is a Shvarim, and that is a Trua. So the broken sound can either be a Shvarim or a Trua, or a shvarim trua. Maybe it means both. Both forms of crying. The Gemara says it definitely does not mean a trua followed by a shvarim, because that is not yom yavav lechon. They're shorter cries, they're longer cries. In combination, it's long followed by short. So therefore, if you have to blow both, it's not true a shvarim, but rather it is a shvarim trua. But those are the three possibilities of the broken sound. When the Torah says yom trua yelechon. Oh, so the Gemara writes in Daf Lamed Daled, Hiskin Rabbi Avo Bekasre. Rabbi Avo made the following takana. Blow them all. Blow them all. No? One possibility for trua is shvarim. One possibility is a trua. One possibility is shvarim trua. So therefore, Rabbi Avo, a takana, to go ahead and to blow all of them. And kachavit, that's what we do. For the broken sound of trua, we follow Rabbi Avo. We blow all these combinations. We start with Tashrat, and then Tashat, and then Tarat. There is a stunning comment of the Ran here, Daf Yud, and Daf Beharif, in the name of Rav Haigon, that you know what? A great, 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 great Chiddush, that any one of these is good. Any one of these is good. The Torah just simply says you have to have a broken sound that is reminiscent of crying. And therefore, it can be a shvarim, it can be a trua, anyone is good. What do you mean? What was the takana then of Rabbi Abbahu? So Vaigon suggested a great chiddush. This wasn't a takana, which was really midin safek, that you know you can only be yotzei one way and not the other way, and therefore let's blow every combination to ensure that we're yotzei. But rather, you know what? This was to ensure uniformity. Agud achas. No, you go to this community, they would blow shvarim. You're used to that. You went to another community, they started blowing shuas. You went to a third town, they were blowing a shvarim shua. It seemed like odd, no, that everybody is blowing different kolos. So therefore, Rabbi Abbahu says that, you know what? Let's have a minhag kavua of blowing the same kolos everywhere. And therefore, he instituted these combinations, but realized you're yotzei with any one of them. Any one of them. Wow. That's an important chiddush. The chiddush of Rav Haigot and Rov Rishon disagree. This was really a safek of Rabbi Elohu, and a critical safek. And if the Torah insists that you blow shvarim and you blow shura, you are not yotzei. And if the Torah insists that you have to blow a combination of shvarim and shura, and you don't do that, you are not yotzei. And therefore, out of necessity, not just simply out of uniformity, out of necessity, Rabbi Avo instituted that you have to blow the various combinations. Well, so Tosfos writes the following. Okay, we have Rabbi Avo, and we have original tkios, and we have tkios of Malchus Rachna Shofros. So what indeed do we do? So Rov Rishonim, against the Balamor that we mentioned previously, no? Rov Rishonim, maintain as follows. Ooh, that Gemara, Daf Tezayin Rosh Hashanah, the tkios de Miyushav. We're going to blow 30 kolos, and you know, we're going to satisfy all of the deos. So therefore, if it's necessary to go ahead and to have straight, broken straight three times, we're going to blow three tashrat, and three tashat, and three tarat, what do we call 30 kolos? And therefore, we're going to be yotzei every possible combination, or according to Rav Haigon, you know what, we are going to blow representing every possible minhag of tkiyah shofar. And now we have the tkiyos, which are Seder HaBrachos. The tkiyos of Seder HaBrachos of Malchus, Sechonos, and Shofros, we discussed that now. The Gemara uses that unusual language. Tezayin, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imru Lefanai. No? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu sounds like maybe it didn't arise. No? That's how Rashi interprets the Pasuk in Emor. Zichron Shrua is Zichronos and Shofros. Or the Ritva that writes, no, it's an Asmachta, but an Asmachta is consistent with Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, because an asmachta is indeed kavana sabore. So therefore, you incorporate the shofar into malchus, sechronos, and shofros, and that is the tkiyah shofar, which is al seder habrachos. So how indeed do you do that? Oh, so Tosus quotes, there were various minhagim, a total of four different practices in terms of malchus, sechronos, and shofros. So Tosus begins by setting the sheet of Darach. Now, Darach is most mistamber. Darach is most mistamber. Now, if you have to blow straight, broken, and straight for Malchus, Sechronos, and Shofros, and we have three possibilities as to what broken means, so very, very simple. So, for Malchus, blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tara. No? So, blow the Shvarim Shua, blow the Shvarim, blow the Shua. So do that for Malchus. That's what we do. No? That's our minhag. And do the same thing for Zichronos. And do the same thing for Shofros. Well, why would you do differently? No? You have to blow straight, broken, straight. There are three possibilities of broken. So let's do everything. So the chiddush of the Aruch was to have, for Malchus, Tashrat, followed by Tashat, followed by Tarat, and we're good. Right? And that, that indeed does the minhag. You know what was the great chiddush of the Aruch? That was not the Poshut Minhag of the Gaonim. They did not blow three lines from Malchus, Sechronos, and Shofros. They only blew one line from Malchus, and one line for Sechronos, and one line for Shofros. That was the old Minhag. What we're so used to, the Aruch, that was somewhat revolutionary. Triple the kolos, blow three lines for Malchus, three lines for Zichronos, and three lines for Shofros. Wow, that was a very great chiddush. The old minhag of the Gaonim, of the Rif, The Rambam, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Shofar, his Malchus Zichronos and Shofaros only have a single line. A single line. Why? So the total of Malchus Zichronos and Shofaros is not 30 kolos. Malchus Zichronos is only 10 kolos. Only 10 kolos. When the Gemara speaks about the tkiyos of Malchus Zichronos and Shofaros, Sach HaKol, it's a total of 10 kolos. 10 kolos. How 10 kolos? Where do you get the 10 kolos? Unusual. The minhag of the Gaonim, and that of the Rib, and then the Rambam, was from Malchios, they would blow Tkiya Shvarim Shvur Tkiya. One line. Done. No? For Zichronos, they would blow one line. Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya. And for Shofros, they would blow one line. Tkiya Shvur Tkiya. Well, they would blow one line for each. And a Chiddush, they would blow different lines for Malchios, and different for Zichronos, and different for Shofros. So that's stunning. No, number one, only one line. That would say, sound so foreign to us. Number two, different lines. Mimon HaShach, you're not Yotze. No? Well, whatever the broken sound is, so you got it right one out of three times. So you're going to vote differently for Malchias, then for Zichronos, and then for Shofros. Toso says, that. How does that work? No, you're blowing different options. It's not either or. You have to blow for Malchias and Zichronos, and for Shofros. So how exactly, indeed, does that work? So you know what the answer is? According to the Gaonim, the Rif, and the Rambam, two possibilities. One possibility is Rav Haim Gaon and the Balamor, that you know what? Any of these are good. Any of these are good. So just like Rabbi Vos said that, you know what, let's combine them all. What a beautiful combination. Anyone is good. We're going to represent the Minhag of Klal Yisrael in Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. And anyone is going to be good. Wow, okay, that's good. If you sound like Rav Haim Gaon, the Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Och Yabez, if a shofar is bothered, how in the world can I suggest that you blow differently when this is really a Suffolk Mikar Hadin? This is not just to have a uniform minhag. Oh, so the Rambam writes a very simple teretz. You know what? Kvar Yotze. You already Yotze. The Gemara Daf Zayin. The earlier kolos were the tkiyos to Miyushav. That's against that Balamor. The Balamor that we mentioned last week, that was not true. The Rambam writes, what do you mean? The tkiyos to Miyushav are the tkiyos that are after laning, before Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. And there we blew every combination. We have 30 kolos. We have 30 kolos. Every combination. So therefore, now, in order to have the kim of tkiyos sofa, al seder abrachos, right? It's sufficient to have the straight, the broken, and straight. Not mi ikar hadin. We already fulfilled ikar hadin. But that's enough for the kiyum of tkiyos shofar, which is al seder habrachos. And therefore, well, that is the sheet of the Rambam, the Rif, and the Gaonim. Right? That sounds so strange to us. No? We blow three lines for Malchios, for Zichronos, and for shofars. Wow. Then Tosus quotes a new sheet, the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, right, exhibited like incredible, incredible sensitivity. Now we're going to see this about Erev Tav Shilin as well. You know what? The minhag was to blow one line. One line. Like the Rambam, the Gaon and the Rif, one line. The Aruch was like revolutionary. Now, you're tripling the kolos. The minhag was to blow a single line. Yeah, but if you blow different kolos for everything, you know what, then Mimon HaMashiach, you're not going to be Yotzei. So Rabbi Tam just suggested the following. You know what? Let's maintain the tsura of the minhag olam. One line, Malchios, one line, Zichronos, one line, Shofros. But you know what? I'll just slip in a couple kolos. I'll make like a little deviation, you know? Hardly notice it. You know what I would suggest? Blow Tkiya Shvarim Shrua Tkiya for Malchias, for Zichronos, and for Shofros. Rabbi Natan added two kolos. He added an extra Shrua and an extra Shvarim. So Malchias, everybody blew Tashrat, sounded great. For Zichronos, when the old minhag was Tashrat, he added a Shrua, Tashrat, no? For Shofros, the minhag was Tkiya, Shrua Tkiya, he added a Shvarim. He added two extra kolos. And that means for Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, Tkiya, Shvarim, Shrua, Tkiya, three times. So you know what? with that many Tamarites, you're definitely yotz. Because what's the worst scenario? That, you know what, maybe the Torah only meant a shvar, and therefore you're guilty of blowing an extra trua. So you know what the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam is? That's not li'ikuva. You know what? The Gemara says, Shama tisha kolos betisha shos v'om yotza. You hear one call, an hour later you hear another call, an hour later another, you're yotze. There's a hefsik in between. The hefsik is not li'ikuva. So therefore, what are you going to claim? You blew an extra call, there's a hefsik. You know what? A hefsik is not at all the yikuvah. So that was the line of Rabbeinu Tam, that muta shenechush lesfekos velo nechush lehefsekos. That was the line of Rabbeinu Tam. I'm more concerned with being yotzi l'chol hadeos than I am worried about a problem with hefsik. If it's a choice to be yotzi l'chol hadeos ayidei hefsik, as to risk not being yotze, it is better to be chayish for the sfekos, for different shitos, than it is to be concerned about the hefsek. And that was Rabbeinu Tam. Well, no doubt Rabbeinu Tam is a chiddush. Because when the Gemara says that hefsek is not a problem in Tekiyah Shofar, what is the Gemara talking about? A shihu yizman. I blew a Tekiyah, and you know what? And then 10 minutes later, I blew a shvarim. The Gemara does not say this explicitly about introducing a foreign call. The Gemara says this where it's just simply a time element. Maybe one could argue that's true, but if you blow an inappropriate call, what do you mean? That ruins. That is considered to be more than a hefsik problem. No? But Rabbi Natam assumed that's not true. The Chiddush Rabbi Natam, kol acher eino mafsik. An extra call is lomayil of lomari. It really doesn't make a difference at all. You know, I'll jump ahead for a minute and say the following. When you look in that Tosus on the Gimel Beis, you have to blow a shvarim and you have to blow a trua. No? Because maybe the crying is shvarim trua. How is shvarim trua blown? You know, is it neshima achas? Or is it shtei neshimas? So Rov Rishonim assume neshima achas. Rabbi Nutam, shtei neshimas. You know what shtei neshimas means? That's mafurish in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. It literally means that you have to breathe in between. You have to tell the Baal Tokeya, no? To breathe in between. Don't just simply pause. Baal Tokeya doesn't like to breathe, no? Well, once they get it right, they like to run, no? No. Rabbi Natam, Shtei Neshimas, stop and take a breath. Rabbi Natam says that, you know what? That even though it's both forms of crying, but they're distinct forms of crying, and therefore they're distinct kolos, and therefore, the shvarim, the trua, must be b'shtei neshimos. Like that, as opposed to assuming that it's neshimachas, and then, you know, b'yotze, ooh. Even neshimachas is a machlokas. Now, the Chazon Ish writes, miyad, and the Mishnah Berurah writes, that's also Trumas Edeshen, a slight pause without a breath. Neshimachas, Trumas Edeshen writes, pause without a breath, slight pause. The Chazon Ish's minhag was, zhup, straight, like consistent, just like you're not pausing in between the shvarim, not pausing in between the shvarim and the trua. The most common minhag is to have a slight pause without a breath. And shtei neshimos really means shtei neshimos. Well, so that's a very heavy machlokas. Now, you know what I would suggest? Yeah, maybe that low machlokas is l'shitase. Rabbeinu Tam holds it shvarim and trua, shtei neshimos. If shvarim trua shtei neshimas, that means they're independent kolos. If they're independent kolos, what's wrong with blowing an extra shvarim or an extra trua? You know what the problem with that is? You're not corrupting the kol. It's just a problem of hefsek. It's like an unnecessary kol. Oh, so that's Rabbeinu Tam. Then you know what? Kol achar, eino mafsek. An unnecessary kol does not call a hefsek. Maybe one could argue, if you're doing it mamish b'neshima achas, it's not just a problem of hefsek, but maybe, literally b'neshima achas, maybe that is a corrupt and inappropriate call. It's not a shvarim. It's a shvarim with an extra trua. Maybe one could argue, you know what, that if it's b'neshima achas, that is not a shvarim, and that is not a trua, and therefore, if the Torah really means only a shvarim, you're not yotzei with a shvarim trua. But you know, it fits in very, very nicely. Rabbi Natan Shita Kolachri Namavsi. Perhaps it's the Shita. Rabbi Natan doesn't spell that out, but perhaps it's the Shita. Say Rabbi Natan's understanding of Shtei Neshimos. Wow. So that was the Chiddush Rabbi Natan, to try to preserve the Minhag Olam. Don't do anything that's so overtly different. You know, the Pnei Yeshua has in Kesubas, Chesam Beis, that, you know, when it comes to, let's say, the Birchas Erisin, even Birchas Nisuin, you know, Borei Pregafin is a Minhag. No? It's a Minhag to be Koveya, the Birchas Erisin Alakos. And the Gemara discusses, Erevin Daf Mem, that certain brachos are enhanced when they're recited Alakos. We enhance the Birchas Erisin by reciting a prior bracha, Borei Pregafin. But Borei Pregafin is not really part of the Birchas Erisin. When you look in the Gemara in Ksuvas Nachesim and Aleph, the Gemara doesn't have Sheva brachos, the Gemara has six brachos, no? But we have a minhag of being Koveya, the six brachos al Hayayin. So guess what? Six with Borei Pregafin is a total of Sheva brachos. Right? Under the chuppah, we begin, and at the Suda, because that concludes with the benching. So therefore, a minhag of doing so. Let me ask you the following question. If it's a minhag to do so, a minhag to be koveya the Birchas Erisin, for example, alayayin, does it really have the status of a Birchas HaMitzvah? And if it doesn't have the status of a mitzvah, it's just a Birchas HaNenin, a minhag to be koveya the Birchas Erisin, which the Rambam writes is a Birchas HaMitzvah, alakos, is it so obvious that the Masadah Kedushin can recite the bracha Borei Pregafin, and the chasen and kala can drink? That doesn't work when it comes to a birchas hanenin. When it comes to birchas hamitzvah, we have a klal of yatzamotzi. I can make a bracha Borei Pregafin of kiddush, and you can drink. But is it so obvious I can make the bracha Borei Pregafin for birchas erisin, and you'll drink? That already is out of the Pnei Yeshua. Which would mean that if the Masada Kedushin does not drink, that bracha is left hanging. And the chasen and kala drinking without a bracha. So, you know, you're sitting at a Suda Shabbat, a Suda Siyantib, right? The Balabayim Samei Kamotz, and he won't eat, he'll just pass you the challah. You can't do that, no? That's a Birchas HaNenin. There's no Yatzamotzi, there's Shomei HaKoneh. There's no Yatzamotzi. So therefore, if he partakes, by extension, you can be Yotzi as well, but you need his participation. So Chaim was very bothered by that. So you know what? Take a look in the Afikayam, Chelek Beis Siman Aleph. You know, so the Afikam was asked about, but Reb Chaim was Masada Kedushin, he didn't drink. So Afikam writes, he didn't look close enough, no? When he was Masada Kedushin, he tilted a little bit, and some wine just dripped on his finger, and you know what, he went like this, and passed the Chasan and Kala to drink, you know? In order to make sure that he was towing before the Chasan and Kala drink, you know? You know, maybe he would have thought, you know, maybe they would have made an announcement, you know, like, you know, Masada Kedushin is going to drink, and everybody would, you know. Reb Chaim did not want to go against the Minhag Olam was not to do that. And he had a personal chumrah. But you know what? The chumras were hidden. No, it was done the most covert way. It's an important, like, Musar Haskia. It's an important Musar Haskia. No, sometimes, you know, you have a personal baby, you do it quietly. You don't have to do it, like, you know, for the sake of publicity. No, so Rabbeinu Tam was very bothered. You know, you want to be Yotzi the Choladeus, but to triple the Kolos was a huge deviation from the Minhag Olam. So he tried with maintaining as best as he could the Minhag Olam to be Yotzi the Choladeus. So Malchus was exactly the same, right, Tashrat? And for Zichronos and Shofros, all he did was like, add just one more call to have the semblance that this is exactly what the Minhag Olam is doing, even though I felt, again, that was indeed necessary. When you look at Mechaber, the Mechaber in Tavkuf Tzari Beis quotes a minhag. I haven't seen this minhag, but that's the minhag in Shulchan Aruch now. That, you know, in Lamdas, it's like the combination of many of the pitfalls, no? The minhag the Mechaber quotes is three lines for Malchios and three lines for Zichronos and three lines for Shofros. In that sense, like the Aruch. But you know what the Mechaber is? Three different lines. The Mechaber writes for Malchios, blow Tashrat three times. And for Zichronos, blow Tashat three times. And Shofros to blow Tarat three times. That's the minhag of the Mechaber. No? Unusual. No? You triple the lines, but you only have Tashrat from Alfios, and only Tashat, and only Tarat. Right? Mechaber, apparently, again, like Rav Haigon, like the Rambam, that's all you need. That's all you need. But the many, many kolos, wow, the many kolos, and so the minhag that Tosus quotes, number two, the Gonim, the Rif, the Rambam, was only one line. And that would mean that how many kolos did you have? You had the tzkios de miyusha, that you know what? You would blow 30 kolos, fulfill all the possibilities. No? That's what we do. And then you had the tzkios, let's say, chazar sashatz, which were a total of 10. Total of 10. So guess what? 40 kolos. And Tosus writes the following. Yeah, that's exactly the nusach, the lashon of the piyut. No? The piyut of Rabbi Shimshon ben Rabbi Yona is called the Kedushas Agan Hasar. And the piyut says that Noi Arbaim Kolos Baharienu. Right? The beauty, the splendor, the Noi of the 40 Kolos. Yeah, it also says that. That's exactly the minhag of the Gaonim, the Rif, the Rambam, 40 Kolos. According to other minhagim, 40 kolos. So Tosus writes, you should realize that old minhag, the minhag of the Gonim, the Rif, the Rambam, was perfectly consistent with the ancient piyut that describes the beauty, the splendor of the 40 kolos. If you look in the Sfas Emes, Lashas, and that the Megillah Beis, the Sfas Emes writes a beautiful, beautiful beer. Our minhag is to have meyakolos. Can I get him sister? We have meyakolos. Let me ask you the following. We have a minhag of meyakolos. How many tkiyas? How many straight sounds and how many broken sounds? No? How many straight and how many broken? Oh, so we blow 60 kolos. We have meyakolos. 60 are tkiyas. And 40, because we're counting shvarim too, right? We have 40 broken sounds. 40 broken sounds. Oh, so Semesh just writes, that's the piyut. That's the piyut. Noi, arbaim kolos, b'harienu. No? Harienu means the trua. Right? The 40 broken sounds of yom yavav yehilachem. That's the meaning of the piyut. Not a total of 40 kolos, but of the many, many kolos that we brought. The yom tru yehilachem, the yom yavava, those are 40 kolos. So whereas Tosus writes that, you know what, the piyut, right, is in support of the minhag of the Gonim, the Rif, the Rambam, and the like. So the Sfas Emes writes that, you know, our minhag of Mea Kolos is magnificent, no? Because 60 are tkiyas, but the Yom Tshir Lechem are 40 kolos of the Trua. And that is what's being emphasized right in the piyut itself. Well, Tosus now discusses, right, the line in the Mishnah, on Gimel Beis. What happens if a person does this? Taka Barishona. Those are Tzkiya. Okay, good. Umashach Bishniya Kishtayim. What exactly does that mean? He blew a Tzkiya, okay. And then he blew a broken sound, whatever that is. Now he has to blow a Tzkiya Lacharel. The concluding Tzkiya. What's the next call? The next call is going to be the Tzkiya, which is Lefanea. No? So, this is what this guy did, that Mashach Bishniya Kishtayim. He blew a really long tkia. I guess having in mind that really long tkia should serve a dual purpose. It should be the concluding tkia of the first line, and it should be the first tkia of the next line. Wow. Mashach Bishniya Kishtayim. No? Wow. Masach Bishniya Kishtayim. You know, that phrase is found twice in Masechta, no? Twice in Masechta. It's a Mishnah and Daf Lamed Gimel. It's a Gemara and Daf Chav Zayin. Rashi in both places writes something which is stunning. What did he do? He blew the last Tkiya of Malchios and blew it very, very long that it should serve as the opening Tkiya of the Zichronos. Well, that's what Rashi writes. that's a real talent, no? Like, whoa, you know, like, and our show takes a good, I would say at least 15 minutes, no? To get from the Tkiyas of Malchias to Zichronos, no? And what a crackerjack belt, okay, and now he blew a Tkiya, and that's obviously not. Rashi's referring to the Tkiyas de Miyushav. The Tkiyas de Miyumad. Tkiyas de Miyushav. You know what's such a great chiddush of that? Maybe it's not such a chiddush, but you know what's such a great chiddush? That the Tkiyas de Miyushav are broken down into Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros. We usually think that Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros only refer to the Tkiyas de Miyumad. No? It sounds to Rashi, no, but the combinations that we have of the earlier Tkiyas are Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros. So you know what he did? He blew the last Tashrat, the last Tkiyah, very long, in order to serve as the first of the Tashrat. Wow. And Rashi calls that Malchias and Zichronos. Malchias and Zichronos. Wow. You know, Rashi writes in Chumash, Malchias and Zichronos means like the Zichron Shruah. It's almost as if the Kolos have an identity of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, a Chiddush. Okay. But he blew a really long call, wanted to serve his bow. So you know what the Mishnah tells us? Ein biyodo el achas. Ein biyodo el achas. What does that mean? He blew, and he was all smart. He wanted to have that count for both. No. Ein biyodo el achas. Ein biyodo. So I'll ask you the following. Ein biyodo el achas meaning what? The Ramban writes Kipshuta. It only counts for one, meaning it only counts for the concluding tkiya at the end of the line. It's not going to also serve as the beginning tkiya. He intended it should be half concluding, half introducing, ein biyodo el achas. Ein biyodo el achas. Well, that's the chiddush of Ramban. Ein biyodo el achas. You know what's not so simple, according to this viewer? I guess that's Boshub Shem. You know what's not so simple? Why does the Mishnah say Taka Barishon? Why is that even relevant, no? Taka Barishon, he blew the opening tzkiya, Umashach B'Shnia Kishrayim. Right? What does Taka Barishon have to do with anything, no? Yeah, of course, Taka B'Rishon. He also blew it like a Shvarma or a Shrua too. No, like, why does the Mishnah have to say Taka B'Rishon? Taka B'Rishon. Why not just simply say Mashach B'Shnia Kishtayim Ein Biyodo El Achas? No, he goes ahead and blows the second Tkiya really long. It only counts for one. The Mishnah will say he blew the first Tkiya, and he blew the second Tkiya with a double length. Why do I emphasize this? Because of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi here, Dalad Yid Aleph. You know what Ein Biyodo El Achas means? The whole Tkiya is worthless. The whole Tkiya is fossil. And you know what Ein Biyodo El Achas means? He only gets credit for the Taka B'Rishona. He blew one Tkiya that was good. And then he attempted to blow this corrupt Tkiya. That corrupt Tkiya is nothing. It's nothing. And therefore, Ein Biyodo El Achas means the only thing that he has is the original Tkiya. Original Tkiya. Wow. Poshev Shat in the Mishnah. Ein Biyodo El Achas means that, you know what, that it works for the Tkiya L'Achareha, but it doesn't work for the Tkiya L'Fanel. Ooh, the Rishami, no. Achas means Tkiya Rishona, the Tkiya L'Fanel. Because this double Tkiya, he intended it should be this and that. Nothing. That's a corruption. That's a corruption, no? That can't be. That's an important chiddush. That can't be. The Ramban is bothered by that, no? If that's really true, that this is a psul, the fact that he tried to combine A and B is a real psul, you know what the Ramban writes? Then he shouldn't get credit even for the Taka Rishona, no? Because if you blow a tekiah lefanel, and you blow a wrong kol, you know what? You can't just blow the right kol. You have to start from the beginning of a line. Well, the Baal Tekiah blows the Tekiah. And he gets mixed up in the Shvarim Shruah. So what happened? If he just has difficulty with the Shruah, okay, we'll let him continue. Let's say instead of blowing a Shruah, he blew a Shvarim. We're not going to say continue. we're going to say, you know, you blew it. No, you have to go back to the original tkiya. The original tkiya. If you have a corrupt kol, you don't salvage the original. That's the kasha of the Ramban. The Ramban says that you can't assume that this tkiya is nothing. Because if this tkiya was really nothing, that would be a kol posel. And if it's a kol posel, tzarech lasu l'tchilas ha-seder. You have to blow the first one again. The first one again. Wow, that's pretty important. And the other Rishon disagree, assume, no, that's not true. Either that, you know what, that halacha of a kol acher is only din l'chachila, or maybe one could argue that's not called a kol acher. That's not called a kol acher. You're right. If instead of blowing a shvarim, I would blow a trua, guess what? Then you have to repeat the original tkiya. But, I didn't do that. This was just like a problem of mashach kishtayim. That my mindset was it should be a tkiya l'achareha and a tkiya l'faneha. Is a tkiya l'achareha and a tkiya l'faneha, is that really called a kol acher, which is a psul? Or does it simply mean that the kol is indivisible, so it counts as one, it doesn't count as two? That's Parshat Shat, what the Ran writes, no? That the Chiddush accounts as one, but and even if you would argue that Yerushalmi, it doesn't count, but it doesn't have the status of a Kol Acher to require that you have to go ahead and repeat the original Tzkiyah. So it's an important the Machlokes, but that's the possibility of the Ramban, the Yerushalmi, that what in fact does that mean? In other words, the tkiya lefaneha, tkiya lachareha. You know, maybe again, it's a din lechatchila that people should be able to focus. Is this a tkiya lefaneha? Is this a tkiya lachareha? Sometimes it may be hard to know exactly, you know? Let's say the Baal Tokiya blows a tkiya lachareha. It doesn't sound so good. So guess what? I'm not sure whether, the Makri is going to let that coal go or not, you know? When am I going to find out? Well, I'll keep on listening, no? So, this tkiya l'achareha didn't sound very good. Okay. What's the next kol? Another tkiya. I'm not that sure, no? Is he repeating the tkiya l'achareha? Is that tkiya l'faneha? You know what? Let me hear the next kol, no? The next kol is a shorim. Oh, I got it, you know? He let that kol go, and this was a tkiya which was l'faneha, no? Which means that I was not sure as to whether it was a tkiya lefaneha or tkiya lacharah until later in the sequence, no? Later in the sequence. That already is a hakpada of the dark emotion. Others, that's not ideal. The best is to be able to recognize this is a tkiya lefaneha, this is a tkiya lacharah, meaning that if whatever the Rav, the Makri, is making him go back, you know, there should be a clear simon that we're going back. Now, we're repeating the tkiya lacharah as opposed to proceeding with the tkiya, which is lefaneha. Maybe it's important the kolos indeed should be labeled as such. You know, because Tosus is even bothered that, you know what, if all you have to blow is straight, broken straight three times, but I have a suffix, so why can't I just do the following, Tosus says, no? Why not blow, let's say, the last hashrat, tkiya, shvarim, trua, tkiya, and the next call, shvarim. If what the Torah meant by a broken sound is shvarim trua, that will be the tkiya lachareha. Now, if the Torah meant by the broken sound is a shvarim, let that be the tkiya, which is the faneha. That's the Darkei Moshe writes. That's not ideal. Right? The ideal way to be yotze is, you know what? This is a tkiya lefaneha. This is a tkiya. It's all based on the psukim. This is mavarta shofar. This is taviru. This is a tkiya lefaneha. This is a tkiya, which indeed is lachareha. So, very different. That's an important comment. The Darkei Moshe and Tav Kuvtzani to have that in mind. Ezekol, which call indeed your being yotze. When it comes to the distinction, as we mentioned, the shimachas and shtei neshimos, there are various practices, no, in terms of what to do. Various splits. No, the mechaber, and there are different minhagim, writes that, you know what, we have a lot of kolos, so the first 30 kolos, let's blow them with shimachas. And then the next kolos will blow the shtei neshimos. That was a practice of separating the tkiyos to miyusha, the first kolos, which are neshimachas, as opposed to last, which indeed were shtei neshimos. The difficulty with that is Rov Rishonim assumed the Shema Achas against Rabbi Yotam, and that means that the Tkiya Shofar al Seder HaBrachos is not the Tkiya of Rov Rishonim. The Tkiya of Rov Rishonim is Mishima Achas. Therefore, you'll find Bezman Azeh, probably a more common practice is to blow the first 60 kolos Mishima Achas, the Tkiyos Demiusha, and the Tkiyos al Seder HaBrachos, and then the 30 kolos after the Shmon Esrei, Kaddish, right? That you blow b'shtei neshima. So that was a common, I would say, a more common practice b'zman hazeh than even what is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch itself. The Rama writes just to follow straight Rabbi Natan. It's such a chiddush. Straight Rabbi Natan of everything b'shtei neshima. Everything b'shtei neshima. That you don't find. Well, usually it's a combination of shimachas and b'shtei neshima. Some that split miyusha v'miyuma. And many, many, many that will do the first 60 b'shimachas like Rov Rishonim. Right? And then... at the end, to go ahead into the Yotzi the Chirsh of Rabbeinu Tam Shit. There's a beautiful medrash in the beginning of Parshas Hazinu that Hazinu Hashemayim Vadavera, the Sishma Haaretz. The medrash uses two different terms when it comes to hearing, when it comes to listening. Well, Shmia and Ha'azan. Shmia and Ha'azan. Hazinu Hashemayim Vadavera. The Sishma Aretz. It's a little bit unclear what the difference is. What the difference? I guess one refers to Shamayim, one refers to Aretz. But what exactly is the difference between them? And the Medrash writes, when you look in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, Shimu Shamayim Vezini Aretz, no? It's exactly the opposite, no? Exactly that. That's the Kash in the Medrash, no? You're going to tell me one refers to Shamayim, one refers to Aretz, but they're flipped. Shimu Shamayim, Hezini Aretz. The Medrash writes the following teretz. You know what the difference between Shmi as opposed to Azana is? A person can hear two different types of kolos. One kol is something that is very intimate. It's up close in person. Huh? Another kol is a distant kol, something you hear at a distance, and that's what the Medrash writes. Ha'azana means when you hear something which is up close. And shmia means you hear something that is at a greater distance. Oh, and that's what the Medrash writes. Parsha Sazina, where was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was Makabal the Torah b'Hashamayim. So therefore, Hazinu Hashamayim, up close. The Navi Yeshaya, right, incredible, but the Nevu of Navi Yeshaya was Al Ha'aretz. So therefore, when Yeshaya HaNavi speaks about Shamayim, it's at a distance. Shmiya. Well, that's the teretz that the Medrash gives. Not a steer whatsoever. Hazan is something which is up close, and Shmiya is something which is more distant. Perhaps that's part of the Kavanas Chazal. When it comes to Kiyata Shomea Kol Shofar Umazintra. When it comes to the Kol of the Tkiya, Chazal chose the term of Shmiya. And the kol of the Trua is Ha'azana. Because the kol of the Trua, that's the Gemara we've been learning. No, Yom Yevavya Yelachon. That's the Bechia of the Yom Hadin. That represents a closeness between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Chazal used the term of Ha'azana means that there's a closeness, there's an intimacy. So, the Yom Yevavya Yelachon, it's true. We learn from the Psukim of Yovel that it's necessary to have a tkila fana tkila chareha. But the avoda sayom, so to speak, of the Yom Adin is Yom Yevavya Helechon, that Bechiyah. Therefore, Chazal chose the term of Hazana, which means that which is most close, most personal, as opposed to Shomea Kol Shofar, which is true, but it doesn't have that same resonance. It doesn't have the same closeness, the Kol of the Yevavya, as opposed to the Kol of the Tekiyah. Okay. That's what we'll pick up. Tomorrow, Shem Kol Yevavya. Mm-hmm.